Senate Committee on Rules. We have one bill before us today. I'm going to let the committee administrator tell us a little about the bill. And Senator Moore, Senator Starr, why don't you both come on forward?
Thanks, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 1073 establishes a system of civil unions in Oregon. It defines civil unions as a civil contract between two persons who are at least 17 years of age and are otherwise capable. It provides that civil unions between first cousins or nearer of kin are void, and that a person may not enter into a civil union if he or she is already a party to an existing civil union or a marriage.
Thank you. Sarah Morris, why don't you take it away?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Frank Morris, state senator from District 8, representing the Albany and Corvallis areas. Madam Chair and colleagues, I don't intend to repeat the testimony that I provided at the previous hearing on this on the original Senate Bill 1000. But what I would like to do is offer an amendment in response to concerns from the faith community with respect to how the Senate Bill 1073 possibly could apply to those that are licensed to perform marriages, or in the case of, as it may be, were this bill to pass, civil unions. And it, Madam Chair, colleagues, it just states very simply, no person authorized to solemnize marriages or civil unions under subsection 2 of this section is required to solemnize a marriage or civil union. So it makes it very clear that for religious institutions that have beliefs contrary to what could become public policy in Senate Bill 1073, that they would not be required to perform civil unions. So, Madam Chair, I think that's an amendment that's responsive to concerns that have been raised, and would ask that the committee would consider that amendment favorably, as well as pass this bill and send it to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Senator Moore. Senator Starr.
Thank you, Chair Brown, members of the committee. I'm Senator Charles Starr, representing Senate District 13. I testified before on Senate Bill 1000, and I'm testifying in opposition to Senate Bill 1073. Separating the civil unions portion from the unsupportable anti-discrimination portion does not make civil unions any less offensive. But again, we have had this discussion. The people of Oregon voted marriage as between one man and one woman. The catch line of this bill says provides that partners in the civil unions have all the same privileges, immunities, rights, benefits, and responsibilities under state laws are granted or imposed on persons who are or were married. There is no difference between gay marriage or civil unions except the name. Chair Brown, members of the committee, speaking the truth is not always easy. Sometimes it brings ridicule, embarrassment, or scorn. Boldness, however, is knowing the truth is more important than personal reputation or temporary acceptance by others. One need not fear the loss of a friend because of the truth. Indeed, any friendship worth keeping must be built on truthfulness. My intention is to speak the truth boldly and clearly. For an untold millennia, custom and law have recognized sexual element of marriage. It is inherent in the one man, one woman understanding of marriage that is one overwhelming consensus in our state. Civil unions seek to turn this consensus on its head. Opponents of gay marriage or civil unions constantly emphasize homosexual couples are loving and committed, just like us. However, since the only real distinction between the marriage and civil union is sexual relationship with the individual involved, we must examine the basis of that sexual relationship. Homosexuality is defined by sexual activity and by whom they have or whom they choose to have sex with. It is for whatever cause a chosen activity is not immutable, as thousands have left the lifestyle and become happily married, productive citizens in our society. The record shows that homosexual activity is not normal, but in fact is damaging to health and life expectancy of individuals. Neither the mouth nor the anus were intended for sexual intercourse. The mounting incidence of HIV and other sexually transmitted diseases is related to the increase of unprotected sex by homosexual, bisexual, and heterosexual individuals, and is disproportionately much greater in the homosexual community. Civil union proponents stress the matter of fairness, yet of those in a committed relationship for 3 years, 50% are not monogamous, and after 5 years, 70% are not monogamous. This form of lustful sexual gratification compels individuals to continually seek new partners. Many have encounters with hundreds of individuals, and some have relations with more than 1,000 different partners. Homosexual activists desire nothing less than a removal of all restraints on sexual immorality of any sort. This is clearly manifest by the conduct of society in Holland, where civil unions or gay marriage has been legalized. We have been told by the proponents of gay marriage that there would actually strengthen the institution of marriage. However, in Holland, the marriage rate has gone from 6.4 per 1,000 of the population in 1990 to 5.1 in 2003. More importantly, the illegitimacy rate, an important measure of society's attitude toward marriage, went from 11% in 1989 to 31% in 2003. Colleagues, I again respectfully ask you to carefully weigh the many aspects and sweeping nature of this bill and not forward it to the Senate floor for a vote. Civil unions aren't good for the people who would be in them, the children raised in them, or the people of our society. I appreciate the opportunity to express my thoughts here today, and I thank you for your work in the Oregon Senate. Be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you, Senator Starr. Any questions for this panel? Senator Shields.
I had a question for Senator Morris. Your amendment simply makes very, very explicit and very clear what's already in the bill. It doesn't change it. I mean, when somebody's authorized to do a marriage, it doesn't mean they have to do a marriage anyway. But this is, I just want that on the record. It's clear that it's already in the bill, but you're just making it more clear by this?
Madam Chair, Senator Shields, yes. This is an abundance of caution, making it very clear, indisputable, that with respect to those that are licensed to perform marriages, there is no obligation that they perform civil unions.
At the last hearing, I said nobody, when I was in the ministry, could ever force me to do any marriage that I didn't want to do, and that's the way it's always been. So I kind of refer to this as the yellow magic marker amendment, because it's kind of highlighting it so that everybody knows it. But I'm not saying it's not necessary, and it's fine to have it, but it really doesn't change anything. And I want to thank you not only for this, but for all of your testimony that you've brought forward in this committee, Senator. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you both very much. We appreciate you joining us here today. Next up, I have Roe Thorpe, Dave Finanke, and Reverend Gene Ross. Whenever somebody starts, we'll start the egg timer. Take it away.
Senator Brown and committee members, my name is Roe Thorpe, and I'm the executive director of Basic Rights Oregon, which is the state's largest advocacy group for the rights of gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people. I'm here to speak in support of Senate Bill 1073 because civil unions offer crucial protections for same-sex couples and their families. We've provided hundreds of pieces of written testimony and brought people here from every corner of the state for two previous hearings. You've heard over and over from Oregonians who need the protections that civil unions offer. You've heard about their fears of what can and in some cases will happen to them if the legislature does not act to pass this bill before the end of this session. And you've heard their hope, which still remains even after a devastating loss at the ballot last year. Their hope that their state will stand up for them and give them the protections they deserve as equal citizens. They're counting on you to stand up today and pass this bill out of this committee today, because for these families, and we don't even know which ones will be hit hardest, 2 more years is too long to wait, and your vote today can make the difference in the future of their families. You've also heard from plenty of people who've spoken out against this legislation. I've listened to all of it, and I want to bring up something that I've noticed and bring it to your attention. In all the testimony on Senate Bill 1000, the combined non-discrimination and civil unions bill, not one person got up to say that they supported one half of the bill and not the other. No one said we shouldn't discriminate in employment, but civil unions is going a little too far, or vice versa. That's odd when you think about it, and it tells you something about who is speaking out against this bill. These are people who are not opposed to civil unions or non-discrimination. They are opposed to gay and lesbian people, period. They want us to disappear or to be silent and ashamed, which we are not going to do. They want us to change, which we can't do, and which they have no right to ask of us. They thought that their vote on Measure 36 would completely eliminate us and our voices, and they were wrong. Most egregious, they act as though Measure 36 was a referendum on gay people. If that was the case, and these ballot measures were referendums on gay people in general, why didn't we pass this bill after the defeat of Measure 9 in 1992? Measure 13 in 1994, or Measure 9 in 2000. Our opponents would like you to believe that the people have voted and that they voted against gay people, but that just isn't true, no matter how many times they say it. The vast majority of Oregonians know that we are their neighbors, their family members, their friends and co-workers, and while they weren't ready to open the doors to marriage just yet, they certainly don't feel the way the people opposing this bill do. Most Oregonians don't think we're sick or evil or a threat to society, and they're right. We're none of those things. Some of us are good, some aren't as good, some of us are friendly, some are grouchy. And mostly, we're just like every other Oregonian, except that it's legal to discriminate against us and our families. That's what sets us apart, and you have the ability to put an end to it. One of the good things about these hearings is that the public and you, our elected representatives, have an opportunity to hear the kind of prejudice that gay people encounter in the places that are most dear to us, our families and our churches. Unless you're gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgendered, you don't often hear these sentiments expressed. You hear the careful statements of evangelicals who espouse compassion, not the true bigotry that fuels this anti-gay agenda. One of the great ironies of these hearings has been to hear people say that discrimination doesn't exist, and then to be outraged that someone might take away their right to discriminate. Civil unions aren't perfect. They are a compromise, and to our mind at Basic Rights Oregon, they are still a marker of second-class citizenship. But given the passage of Measure 36, their way of drawing a line in the sand against prejudice and saying that the state will do everything it can to protect our families, gay and lesbian Oregonians and all who love us are counting on you to set a tone of fairness and decency in our state. We need you to do it now, today. Unfortunately, it still takes courage to vote for something so basic that ought to be so completely apparent, but we know that you have that courage, and the clock is ticking. We urge you to support Senate Bill 1073, to vote on it today, and to help make civil unions a reality in our state. Thank you.
Thank you. Reverend Ross.
Chair Brown, members of the committee, I am Reverend Eugene Ross. I am conference minister for the Central Pacific Conference of the United Church of Christ, past president of Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon, currently an EMO board member. And it is on behalf of both of those church bodies that I appear here today to speak in support of Senate Bill 1073 and urge this committee to report it out with a due pass recommendation. Let me say at the outset that my wife and I have been married for 41 years. As a pastor, I have been involved in more weddings than I have kept count of, and also have officiated at several blessings of same-sex relationships. I cannot see how providing the vehicle for same-sex couples to enter into a civil union threatens the institution of traditional marriage. And by the way, in a recent book by Judith Kuntz just coming on the market, the whole idea of what is a traditional marriage is very much called into question. I believe that the essence of marriage is the making of a covenant that gives witness to two persons' commitment to each other. Covenant is a central feature of marriage. All that same-sex couples are asking for is the opportunity to give witness to their commitment to each other. Both Hebrew and Christian texts in Holy Scripture set forth an understanding of covenant which calls for persons to live as full participants with God in responsible and committed relationships. The underlying call in these relationships is to live in wholeness and responsibility with one another. Short of being able to enter into state-sanctioned marriage, same-sex couples are seeking to enter into publicly acknowledged covenants with each other. I know many same-sex couples who could teach a lot of heterosexual couples about covenant and responsibility to each other. As an individual, along with the denomination I serve, we have affirmed our commitment to same-sex marriage. Until that happens, we affirm that all same-sex couples should be able to enter into civil unions and thus receive the same rights and benefits that are afforded to persons in a marriage recognized by the state. Justice demands such a provision. This needs to happen in order to end the rhetoric which fuels hostility, misunderstanding, fear, and hatred expressed toward gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender persons. Such hostility, misunderstanding, fear, and hatred have no place in the state of Oregon or any other place. Civil unions will help diffuse such realities. While they do not speak for all of the members of denominations of Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon, the Board of Directors of Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon has voted in support of civil union for same-sex couples. We have affirmed the inalienable worth of each person as created in the image of God, regardless of race, gender, national origin, or sexual orientation. And we feel that civil unions provide the much-needed civil protections congruent with these principles. I thank you for this opportunity to testify before you and urge you to send Senate Bill 1073 to the floor with a due pass recommendation so that all Oregonians receive the same civil protections.
Thank you, Reverend Ross. Mr. Fidanke.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, David Fidanke, Executive Director, ACLU of Oregon, testifying in support of Senate Bill 1073 and proud to do so. Since this committee had its hearing on Senate Bill 1000, the House Judiciary Committee held a hearing on a bill that is being held up as an alternative to Senate Bill 1073. That's House Bill 3476, the so-called reciprocal benefits bill. And I wanted to bring to the attention of this committee, even though that hearing was on the other side of the building, that the proponents of the reciprocal benefits bill argued that they were offering only a narrow window of protections to same-sex couples and others that they believe should be entitled to these protections under state law, that they chose that narrow number of privileges based on the advertising that was done by the campaign that our side ran in opposition to Amendment 36. And former State Representative Tudy Smith in that hearing showed TV spots that had been run by the No on 36 campaign. I was a member of the steering committee of that campaign along with my colleague Ms. Thorpe, and I just wanted to share with you some other campaign materials from our campaign in opposition to Amendment 36, because we did not talk about only a narrow group of privileges that same-sex couples were currently denied under state law. And this particular item was part of a direct mail piece that was mailed to thousands of Oregon voters. You may recall that it had comments from former Supreme Court Justice Jacob Tanzer and the reasons that he was voting in opposition to Amendment 36. And it lists more than 100 privileges, rights, and responsibilities under state law that come along with marriage to opposite-sex couples that have been denied to same-sex couples. It says at the top, Constitutional Amendment 36 would deny over 1,000 rights, responsibilities, and protections. So we were talking in the campaign about all the provisions in state law, not just the ones that may have been mentioned in TV ads. And I also wanted to bring to the committee's attention the voters' pamphlet from last fall, which included the same list of rights, responsibilities, and protections over four separate pages of the state voters' pamphlet. It's time for the discrimination to stop. If the state wants to encourage monogamous, committed relationships for the benefit of children and families in this state, there is one very simple thing that you can do, and you can do it this afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the committee, and that is to pass out Senate Bill 1073. I urge you to do so with due speed. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for this panel? Senator Atkinson.
Thank you. I'm actually looking at the bill as it's written. It's pretty broad, so is that by design? So you get to, under this bill, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people can all take advantage of a civil union? Is that correct?
Well, what it would mean is that the gender of the two partners who were in the couple would not be a condition of the responsibilities and protections of marriage.
Thank you.
And I believe the same laws would apply to other married couples, that you cannot be married and then enter into a civil union as well. She can't have it both ways, so to speak.
Correct.
Any other questions? Thank you very much. Next up, J.J. Quinlan, Stella Gunther, and Jim Russell. And we've set the timer at 3 minutes. We're just kind of using it as a guideline, so I lose my committee at 5, so we need to be done before then. Good afternoon and welcome. Why don't you go ahead?
I'm going to start off. My name is Stella Gunther, and I appreciate the fact that we can be here today, Chairman Brown and senators on the committee. I am asking you today to vote no on SB 1073, which would redefine marriage to include same-sex couples and ignore the will of the people. The first reason is that same-sex marriage is not a civil rights issue. With exception, every adult in Oregon already has a right to marry, but everyone also has restrictions on whom they may marry, again without exception. No one is permitted to marry a child, a close blood relative, a person who is already married, or a person of the same sex. These restrictions apply equally to everyone. There is no discrimination involved. Nevertheless, homosexual activists continue to hitch their caboose to the civil rights train. We ban discrimination based on race in this country with the specific reason that race is a characteristic which is inborn, involuntary, you can't choose it, immutable, you can't change it, and innocuous, it harms no one. Plus, race appears in the Constitution. The choice to engage in homosexual behavior is none of the above. The laws which once limited one's marriage partner on the basis of race were designed to build walls and to keep blacks and whites apart. But restricting one's choice of a marriage partner by gender preserves marriage as an institution that builds bridges to bring men and women together to create future generations and serve the health of society. But even if same-sex marriage is not a legal right, some people ask what harm would be done by letting same-sex couples marry. I sometimes find it hard to believe people can ask that question in light of the devastation we've seen from the changes in family structure in the last 35 years. The research done at the Family Research Council shows several things. Homosexuals are much less likely than heterosexuals to enter into long-term relations in the first place. If they do have a partner, they are less likely to remain sexually faithful, and they are much less likely to remain committed for a lifetime. these problems and unwillingness to commit to marriage, a lack of fidelity, and a lack of permanence exists among heterosexuals as well. But the experience of the Scandinavian countries shows that that opening marriage to same-sex couples would make these problems worse, not better, throughout our population.
Mr. Quinlivan.
Chair Brown, members of the committee, thank you. My name is J.J. Quinlivan, and I'm a resident of Corvallis, Oregon, and today I am asking you to vote no on SB 1073. Although it says civil union, it would redefine marriage to include same-sex couples and ignore the will of the people. I know that many people here have come with their pastors and church groups and are motivated by their religious convictions. This leads some people to charge that we are trying to impose a religious definition of marriage on civil society. But defining marriage as the union of a male and female is not something unique to Christian theology, biblical teaching, or even Judeo-Christian worldview. In fact, until the last blink of an eye in human history, there's never been any civilization, any religion, or any culture that has treated homosexual relationships as the equivalent of heterosexual marriage. Marriage is not simply a religious institution, nor is it merely a civil institution. Instead, marriage is a natural institution whose definition is the union of a man and woman as rooted in the order of nature itself. Individuals may choose to marry for all kinds of private reasons, but the reason marriage is a public institution is because it brings together men and women for the purpose of reproducing the human race and keeping a mother and father together to cooperate in raising to maturity the children they produce. The public interest in such behavior is great because thousands of years of human experience and a vast body of contemporary social science research both demonstrates that married husbands and wives and children they conceive and raise are happier, healthier, and more prosperous than people in any other living situation. In fact, I would suggest that the argument in favor of same-sex marriage can only be logically sustained if one argues that there is no difference between men and women. That it is, if one argues, not merely that men and women are equal in value and dignity, a proposition which I am sure we'll all agree, but that males and females are identical and thus able to serve in entirely interchangeable parts in the structure of marriage. The contention is absurd on its face. Thus, same-sex marriage is a contradiction in terms. Finally, let's be clear about one thing. This debate is not risen because there's been a large groundswell of public support for same-sex marriage. For no such groundswell exists. We are sometimes accused of being divisive for opposing same-sex marriage, but nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, there are few political issues on which Americans are so united as they are in believing that marriage is the union of one man and one woman. Last fall, 50% of Oregonians voted to confirm this and to add it to our state constitution, as well as 10 other states, and I believe 7 or 8 others had passed that same proposal previous to that. During the civil rights movement, the real civil rights movement, people fought to fulfill the principles of liberty that were enshrined in our Constitution from the beginning of our nation. But today, homosexual activists are seeking not to fulfill, but to overturn the principles of family that were enshrined in nature from the beginning of the human race. And members of the committee, I ask you not to allow them to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Quinlivan. Mr. Russell, welcome.
Thank you. Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is James Russell. I'm from Sweet Home, Oregon, and I wish to speak in opposition to Senate Bill 1073. I believe it is unconstitutional, redundant, and improperly amends a very large number of present laws. It's unconstitutional because it's contrary to the present Constitution, which defined marriage, and this, by its very essence, defines equivalently marriage and civil union. And such things are just not consistent with the Constitution as it now exists. Civil unions must be different from marriage. And I believe the legislation should indicate very clearly the differences. And I suspect the most striking difference is probably what has been said, that by long tradition, marriage implies the responsibility to conceive, bear, and rear children. Civil unions cannot, within the union, do such a thing. If we wish, we may grant privilege of adopting children and even of conceiving and bearing them with appropriate outside assistance to these civil unions. But that is a distinction that needs to be clear in the law. I further believe that this mass universal search and replace mechanism in Article 22, or is it 21? In Section 21, the universal search and replace amends huge numbers, in fact, millennia of tradition and legal precedent, and I understand over 500 Oregon state laws, without mentioning them, without debating them separately. These laws have been established by individual debate. Any amendment should be equally by individual debate. I believe that the long-term stability of the traditional family is important to the stability and well-being of our society. And I fear that these alternate lifestyles detract from the stability and strength of families. I am very uneasy with recognition and support of alternate lifestyles. However, many members of our society continue to engage in such alternate lifestyles, and our government does have the responsibility to recognize and serve those members also. However, I believe that Senate Bill 1073 is the wrong way to do that. Therefore, I oppose Senate Bill 1073. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions for this panel? Thank you. Mr. Russell, just one question.
Yes.
So if you believe that the government should provide homosexuals with rights, what method would you choose to do that by?
I am not familiar enough with opportunities. This one goes too far, and it's formatted in such a way that it's obviously simply redefining the term marriage.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Next up, Ms. Kelly Burke, Ms. Rivka Gewertz, and Ms. Beth Allen.
Is the giraffe the symbol of a nonpartisan?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Chair Brown, members of the committee, my name is Rivka Gewertz. I'm a homemaker and a mother, and I'm also a lesbian in a 12-year committed relationship. My partner, Lauren, can't be here today because she's busy supporting our family, and our daughter is in school. Those who campaigned for Measure 36 did so saying that they just didn't want us using the M word, but that we could pursue protections from the legislature. Now they're saying they don't want us to have civil unions, that we don't need these protections. A year and a half ago, I had to stop working for health reasons. During this time, Lauren has been the primary breadwinner for our family, willingly supporting me, even though she cannot claim me as a dependent on her taxes. It would appear that our opponents would rather I were a burden on our already stressed health and welfare system than allow my partner the responsibility of supporting me and our daughter. Luckily, Lauren's employer has domestic partner benefits, so I and our daughter are covered, but she, like many in the Portland Public Schools, has been notified that she may be one of the teachers laid off. Without Senate Bill 1073, we have no guarantee that her next employer will make the effort to avail us with benefits. Every person employed in Oregon should be assured of equal pay and benefits for equal work. Lauren and I talked and prayed and sought counsel for 4 years before making the decision to give birth to our daughter. We are both her biological mothers. Lauren is the genetic mother, and I am the gestational mother. In Oregon, because I carried our daughter, I was considered the legal mother at birth. The opposing House Bill 3476 may provide for our daughter in terms of an estate, but it does nothing to address the issues of living as a family. The right to family insurance policies, joint decision-making with regard to health and education, are only available to protect our daughter's well-being through passage of this bill. And if, God forbid, we were to separate, House Bill 3476 makes no provision for joint custody, support, or visitation. Only through civil unions does the reality of our relationship, not only with each other, but with our child, become clear. Like some of the folks that you've heard before, we too are active in our congregation. The board of the Jewish Federation of Greater Portland, as well as the Community Relations Committee, which represents all the Jewish congregations and agencies in Portland, endorsed Senate Bill 1000. As members of a minority religion, we know that the separation of church and state was put into place to protect the rights of the minority from being infringed upon by a zealous majority. Our family should not have to wait until it becomes comfortable for the narrow-minded. I doubt that interracial marriages would have been recognized 40 years ago if we had waited until everyone was comfortable. I urge you to move this bill quickly. Our family cannot afford to wait two more years for the legislature to take action on this issue.
Thank you. Let's go first. Hello. My name is Kelly Burke, and I'm a resident of Portland. I'm here today to testify in support of Senate Bill 1073. I understand that the legislative session is likely to end soon, and that
we can only hope.
And that timing is critical. So thank you for moving quickly to safeguard families like mine. My partner Dolores and I have been together for 17 years and are the proud parents of our son Avery, who will soon be four. We've gone to extraordinary means and financial expense to try to protect each other and Avery with wills, powers of attorney, and other legal documents. But these documents only help us in life's most dire circumstances, and they've done very little to protect us in daily life. As a family, we live more traditionally than most modern families. I'm a stay-at-home mom, and Dolores, a union electrician, is the sole financial support of our family. One of the most basic needs for all families is health care. But we found out that while Dolores could cover Avery and up to 19 dependents on her employer's health insurance, I was denied coverage.
Excuse me, how many dependents?
19, at no additional charge.
Yes. I was. That's a union, Madam Chair.
I think federal tax law has something to do with that as well.
Yeah. However, I was denied coverage because Dolores' union does not recognize domestic partners as valid family members. They provide benefit only to legally recognized family members. When we got married in Multnomah County last year, her union did treat us as it does all other families and provided me temporarily with health insurance. But with the passage of Measure 36 and the recent Oregon Supreme Court decision, my health insurance, as well as our recognition as a family, are gone. Since I last appeared before you, we received a notice from Dolores' union confirming that the termination of my health benefits. With the Supreme Court voiding our marriage license, I am no longer a valid family member according to their policies. Yet they also stated that they would continue to cover me until December 31st, 2005. We strongly suspect that they are continuing this coverage, even though it is against their own policies, because they expect that the legislature will act to create civil unions, giving them the means to treat us like the family that we are. They are waiting for your action. This is not just about one person's need for health insurance. Senate Bill 1073 will give us the safety net that all other Oregon families have access to. And our family is just like every other family in Oregon, with the same hopes, dreams, and needs. Please move Senate Bill 1073 as quickly as possible. My family cannot afford to wait. I think we all know that if it doesn't happen now, in 2 years, it could be a decade or more. We cannot afford to wait any longer. Please vote yes. Thank you.
Ms. Allen.
Senator Brown and members of the committee, I'm Beth Allen, and I am an employment attorney. I'm not representing any clients here, only myself, and I'm going to present this testimony based on my own understanding of this area of law, and I am not, of course, here to provide any legal advice.
We've got a number of lawyers who do that for us.
I understand there's a concern that the civil union bill will overwhelm employers with additional expense. That simply is not true. There are several areas related to employment that I can speak to you about today that I understand have been raised as concerns that would be affected by passage of this bill. Health benefits for employees' partners, COBRA continuation, family leave rights, and worker compensation benefits. In general, the Employee Retirement and Income Security Act, known as ERISA, preempts state laws regarding employer-sponsored benefits plans. the federal so-called Defense of Marriage Act, known as DOMA, which was passed in 1996, defines marriage as a legal union between one man and one woman as husband and wife, and defines spouse as a person of the opposite sex who is a husband or wife. DOMA permits only opposite-sex spouses for federal purposes, including ERISA. Thus, the passage of SB 1073 will not immediately grant spousal rights and benefits to same-sex partners under ERISA retirement or welfare plans. In legalese, ERISA preempts generally state rules. Then there's COBRA. COBRA is a federal law that requires employers to continue certain insurance benefits even after termination of employment. ERISA, the federal law, in conjunction with the IRS code, regulates COBRA continuation coverage. Again, it permits only qualified beneficiaries to receive COBRA benefits. Under final regulations issued by the IRS in 1999, a qualified beneficiary is defined as a covered employee, the spouse of a covered employee, or the dependent child of a covered employee. Arguments are being made that partners of the same gender as the covered employee would have to be considered qualified beneficiaries for COBRA purposes if the civil union bill passes, because they would be considered the equivalent of legal spouses. Such assertions will most certainly fail because, as I said earlier, DOMA provides that same-sex partners cannot be guaranteed federal benefit rights, such as COBRA, because a same-sex partner cannot meet the definition of spouse, even when a couple unites under a civil union law. Next, I'll talk about the Family Medical Leave Act. This act applies to employers with at least 50 employees. Employers with less than 50 employees are not covered, so leave need not be provided under FMLA. For employers with more than 50 employees, again, the act would not apply because of DOMA. Large employers who wish to discriminate may do so with impunity under the federal law. Of course, many large employers, including many that I represent, have found it in their economic interest as well as social interest to provide FMLA-type benefits to gay and lesbian employees because it builds loyalty, and employers with progressive policies attract younger, more educated employees who want to work in a socially progressive environment. Employers with less than 50 but 25 or more employees are covered by the Oregon Family Leave Act. That act already provides that domestic partners are included within the definition of a family member, so there would be no change. Employers with less than 25 employees would not be affected at all because they are not required to provide family leave law, not required to provide family leave under any law. As to workers' compensation, the union partners of employees killed in a workplace accident would be entitled to benefits, as I understand it. Of course, the number of employees killed each year is quite small, and the number of unioned gay employees killed each year is infinitely small. I can't imagine that premiums would rise at all. I have to admit bafflement over an employer who would want to deny the partner of its employees the same benefits that spouses get, but I guess that's what this debate's about. I can't think of any other impact SB 1073 would have on employers. Basically, it's negligible to none. Arguments to the contrary are simply inaccurate. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? Senator Westland.
Just a comment. Rivka, as much as I agree with every word of your testimony, I cannot tell you how much I, and I'm sure I speak for the entire committee, how much we are all disappointed that you did not bring your daughter, Hannah, down.
Yeah.
Well, and she definitely has been speaking a great deal about the thrill it was meeting all of you a few weeks ago. So.
Well, that was our privilege. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. Appreciate you being here. Next up, Ms. Tootie Smith, Mr. Michael Howden, and Mr. Bob Castagna. I didn't realize there was another page. Okay, we're going to... Go ahead.
Chair Brown, members of the committee, my name is Michael Howden. I'm the Executive Director of Stronger Families for Oregon. I'm going to spare you any handed-in testimony here today and just review our comments from previous times. We appreciate all your work. We'd like to reiterate our view that SB 1073 essentially reduces the marriage laws by, in fact, partnering up every single marriage statute with the term civil unions, thereby reducing the unique status and significance that marriage has on the law, and we believe was intended by the Oregonian voter last fall. The vote was more than about a vote for just a mere word, but was about an institution that they intended to set aside. And the actual act of this bill would reduce that significance in our view. In terms of basic needs that exist out in the community at large, we believe that HB 3476 accomplishes that in a more fair and consistent manner, and in fact meets a lot of observed needs across the entire population and not with just one demographic group. We also know there are many types of relationship constructs that a number of folks are lobbying for across the country and even within our own state. They would like to see them also have some codification or some formal civil recognition for that relationship status. We would like to promote the question to this committee, what would be the follow-on to the compelling nature of this legal argument for civil unions to another group desiring to have the very same status?
Sir, could you, excuse me for a minute, could you tell me why both the Oregon Family Council and the Defense of Marriage Coalition said during the campaign that specifically the ballot measure did not apply to civil unions? And I can quote you Tim Nashif here, same-sex couples should seek marriage-like rights through another avenue such as civil unions. Mr. Nashif made that comment to the Bend Bulletin on August 20th, 2004. Do you disagree with the Defense of Marriage Coalition, the Oregon Family Council? Position on this during the campaign?
But Chair Brown, per your first question, I think that is correct. Measure 36 did not even bring up the term civil union. So,
and in fact, the measure does not prohibit civil unions, does it not?
The measure does not prohibit it. Our contention, Chair Brown, is that the act of the bill that we're hearing here today and its actual partnering up with each and every statute is what would violate the intent of the voter by virtue of what they voted on. And Chair Brown, per the comments and the quotes that have been shared about by a number of organizations, I was in a position to hear a number of those conversations at different times, different press events. It's my firm contention and submission that nobody ever endorsed any particular policy, but did endorse the process that's freely available to all Oregonians, whether you went legislatively towards a particular desired policy, whether you went to a ballot measure, or sought the approval in any other format. All Oregonians are free to access that process in any way they would wish. That's not only fine, that's good, and we endorse the access to that process.
So you're supportive of gays and lesbians here seeking civil rights?
Chair Brown, I'm supportive of every Oregonian accessing the process, to be sure. I would like to close just very quickly to say perspective to some of the comments offered earlier, and I know the comments were genuine, and they may have been born out of some personal experiences as well, but I personally know a number of gay individuals. I've worked with gays in the workplace and have never had any type of animosity in that working relationship. Indeed, neither I nor my organization that I represent wants to see anyone's earning power reduced or their job access eliminated. I also know a number of people who have changed and have walked away from the gay lifestyle a number of years ago and are leading a different kind of lifestyle to this point, and would submit to you that that is a fact that exists out there, even in clinical psychology and sociology. And finally, I'd like to also submit that I know a number of people that are friends of mine that also are gays, and they would disagree with our promotion of marriage generally. They themselves would like to see marriage taken off of the civil books, but at the same time, they understand where we're coming from. They don't hate us, and we don't hate them. And that certainly altogether would represent our position in terms of people, their value, and their significance, and would submit that that is generally where most of us are coming from.
Thank you. Ms. Smith.
Thank you, Chair Brown and members of the committee. I'm Tootie Smith, representing the Oregon Family Council. I'm here to voice our opposition to Senate Bill 1073. I'd like to make a point that we've heard a lot about 1073 is like Vermont and Connecticut, but just for the record, I want to make a key difference between that with the civil union style unions that Vermont and Connecticut have. When those states did that, they did not amend their current marriage laws. I think we're talking about something that's more acceptable in Massachusetts instead. Senate Bill 1073 instead of creating a new civil law, it's amending the Chapter 106 of the Oregon Revised Statutes.
So, Ms. Smith, just so that I understand you, if we had all of the 800, 1,000 rights delineated statute by statute, would you then support the bill?
I think our support would be broadly accepted for a reciprocal benefit of all Oregonians who currently cannot take advantage of marriage, is what I'm saying.
But, Ms. Smith, I was here for some of the reciprocal beneficiaries' testimony. My recollection of the House bill is that it covers about 11 benefits.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
I'm mostly concerned about children, having done family law and represented a number of couples in divorce proceedings and custody proceedings. Mm-hmm. Don't you think we ought to have some sort of law on the books to protect the legal rights of those children?
I think the legal rights of children are protected through the state of Oregon and the social services, and I think medical preventives are provided. They are not denied to any child or person in this state. And that makes my third point, is one of the reasons we outlined certain benefits in the reciprocal benefits bill, House Bill 3476, was because of the large fiscal impact we feel that this bill has. It has not been submitted to the Revenue Committee or the Ways and Means Committee to determine what those benefits are. In Vermont, for instance, they did a fiscal analysis on it, and it was in the millions of dollars how much it would cost to implement the bill in their state. And I think it would be similar in the state of Oregon because we are amending with this bill all the statutes. I think we're amending how government operates in regards to implementing those statutes, and furthermore, we're changing the way businesses do business in the state of Oregon, and I think that's a crucial piece of legislative work that needs to be done on this bill.
Did you happen to hear Mr. Little, a former Republican legislator from Vermont, when he testified on Senate Bill 1000?
I was aware he was here, and I don't exactly remember what he said.
Okay. Well, my recollection is that he talked about the reciprocal. Vermont passed both bills, the civil unions bill, virtually the same as the proposal in front of you, as well as a reciprocal beneficiaries bill. And to his understanding, to my knowledge, there's been no one that's actually used the reciprocal mm-hmm. beneficiaries bill in Vermont over the mm-hmm. last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
That tells me it doesn't provide legal protections that couples and parties need.
Well, if you pass a civil unions bill and a reciprocal benefits bill, if one bill provided more benefits to a person possibly than another, maybe that would go with. I would cite, however, Hawaii. In Hawaii, they do have reciprocal benefits, and over 1,040 people have applied for reciprocal benefits in that state, with only about 74 disillusions of for whatever reason. So I think maybe if, you know, you're comparing apples to apples with the Hawaii, of course, in Oregon, we have nothing yet. I still think with the passage of Measure 36, when Oregonians upheld the word marriage between one man and one woman, that is exactly what they mean. I think there's a lot of people, including the people on the right and the people on the left, who would not support House Bill 3476, but we think at this particular political climate, in June of the year 2005, we think that is the best way to go about the approach.
And Ms. Smith, forgive me, the group, the organization that you're representing today?
Oregon Family Council.
And that's the same organization that Tim Nashif is with, correct?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. During the campaign, let me share with you a couple of quotes. He said, same-sex couples should seek marriage-like rights mm-hmm. through another avenue, such as civil unions. That was to the Bend Bulletin in August of 2004. Then again, in November of 2004, he said, quote, the coalition set out to defend marriage, and now we have an amendment that does that, end quote. And Lastly, in November of 2004, he said, quote, Oregon's measure was specifically written not to address civil unions. Is your organization now changing its position, or was Mr. Nashif speaking outside of the organization when he said that same-sex couples should seek marriage-like rights, such as civil unions? Could you help me get clarity in terms of where your organization is at this point in time?
Chair Brown, I'd be happy to. I believe when that statement was made during the campaign, at that point in the campaign, and I can attest to this quite truthfully because I myself was running for office, I was asked the question, do you support civil unions? And my question back to them, well, what do you think civil unions are? Can you define them for me? Because as I traveled across Clackamas County, the district that I was running in, a lot of people had different opinions of civil unions, and they just kind of, in my experience, vaguely thought they meant some unions for some benefits for gays, which I was not opposed to at the time. I think at the time that was brought up, civil unions were not defined as they have been during this legislative session with the advent of Senate Bill 1000. I think Senate Bill 1000 has defined what civil unions were, and they were not defined during the Measure 36 campaign. That's my take on it.
Okay, so Mr. Nash's quote, same-sex couples should seek marriage-like rights through another avenue, mm-hmm. such as civil unions. Mm-hmm. Folks didn't have a sense of what that meant during the campaign?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
No. I mean, I think you could probably agree with that. Civil unions were not defined. It was a term being tossed around, helter-skelter. As a matter of fact, that's why we drafted House Bill 3476, because those are marriage-like rights in the bill that we're more than willing to have a reasonable discussion about.
And so when the spokesperson from the Defense of Marriage Coalition, Georgine Rice, said gay and lesbian couples are free to pursue marriage-like rights via different avenue, such as civil unions that have been approved in Vermont, folks still didn't have a sense of what that meant?
I don't know that her statement was that widely picked up in the press and the media, that people knew that what civil unions were like in Vermont, or I don't know that Oregonians had the definition in their mind then as maybe they do now, and I would submit to the chair, I think there still is confusion what civil unions are to a lot of Oregonians and what reciprocal benefits are.
So why didn't ballot measure 36 specifically preclude civil unions if that was the intent of the measure?
I don't know. I don't know why it didn't do that. I think the intent of Measure 36 was to solemnize marriage between one man and one woman.
And I think Mr. Nashif said they did that. The coalition set out to defend marriage, and now we have an amendment that does that.
Well, they felt that marriage needed defended.
Thank you. Mr. Castagna.
Chair Brown, members of the committee, for the record, Robert J. Castagna, General Counsel and Executive Director of the Oregon Catholic Conference. The Oregon Catholic Conference is the public policy voice of Oregon's Catholic bishops in service to Oregon's Catholic population of some 425,000 people in pursuit of the common good for all. The Oregon Catholic Conference is here today to testify in opposition to Senate Bill 1073. On April 27th, Catholic Bishops of Oregon issued a statement, a letter on marriage, civil unions, and reciprocal beneficiaries. And in that letter, they state as follows, while there is a distinction between homosexual inclination and activity, each person is a loved child of God with inherent human dignity. The Catechism of the Catholic Church declares that persons with a sexual inclination must be accepted with respect, compassion, and sensitivity. Every sign of unjust discrimination in their regard should be avoided. Any hostile or violent words or acts directed at our sisters and brothers are offensive, immoral, and must not be tolerated. With respect to marriage, the bishops continue, because marriage is the foundation of the human family, society attaches special protections and benefits for the married couple and their children. It is in society's own self-interest and self-propagation to do so. It is not discriminatory for society to reserve the full array of marriage benefits to a married man, woman, and their children. to legalize civil unions wherein same-sex couples receive all the benefits of marriage under another name is to adopt a public policy that, in effect, states that marriage and same-sex civil unions, although called by different names, are essentially the same and equal. They are not. Society must always be mindful that the law is a teacher of us all, including very young and impressionable minds who are growing into their sexual awareness and identity. Youth learn society's conduct and expectations from family, community, faith, and law. The policy of same-sex civil unions establishes a confusing legal and educational message for young people. Approval of same-sex civil unions makes a statement to impressionable youth. Society offers the same benefits for marriage between one man and one woman and same-sex civil unions. Therefore, society says you are free to choose either marriage or same-sex civil unions because they are equal in the eyes of the law. With the passage of a law legalizing same-sex civil unions, marriage will no longer hold a special place in society's laws for the exclusive benefit of man, woman, and the procreation, rearing, and education of children. Marriage between one man and one woman, then, will no longer be held up as society's preferred institution to conceive and raise children. Marriage, in effect, becomes a weakened social institution to the detriment of the stability of the family and the inherent consequences to children. Through same-sex civil unions with marriage-like benefits and through the practices of artificial insemination and surrogate motherhood, society sanctions and encourages expanded experimentation on the birth of children, who deliberately will be conceived and born without the benefit of having both mother and father. Children are God's precious gift to humanity, given to us through the mutual love of woman and man. Society's approval of a generally accepted and expanded experimentation on the birth of children without both mother and father surely cannot be in the best interests of children or society. Accordingly, the Oregon Catholic Conference cannot support same-sex civil unions as supportive of the common good for all and must oppose legislative attempts to adopt such policy in Oregon. I've also handed out as a supplement a front-page article from the May 27th national edition of the New York Times on surrogacy. I believe that article buttresses the bishop's concern about surrogate parenthood. We also had an Oregon Attorney General's opinion that goes back to 1989. Attorney General David Frohnmayer issued an opinion in which he opined that the contracts on surrogate parenthood are not legally enforceable. So we're entering into a situation which is, at best, legally murky, and I think of doubtful legal validity.
Mr. Castagna, my family law, my recollection from my many years ago practicing family law, my recollection is that there are married heterosexual couples that use surrogacy as well. Is that not correct?
Chair Brown, members of the committee, that is correct, but the contracts themselves are not legally enforceable. They are violative of other Oregon statutes.
Thank you. Other questions for the panel? Senator Ringo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Have all of you had a chance to see the list? I'm sure you have. This is 100. Here are just 100 rights, responsibilities, and protections that are set forth in family. Have the three of you seen these?
Yes.
Ms. Smith, have you seen these?
No.
You've never seen these? It's in the voter's pamphlet.
Yeah.
Do you have another copy?
We'll get you a copy, Charlie.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Katie. Mr. Castagna, have you seen these?
Chair Brown and Senator Ringo, I recall seeing them in the voter's pamphlet, and what I noticed in the voter's pamphlet is that some of them were duplicative of others that appeared on other pages in the voter's pamphlet.
Well, let's just take a look at this. It lists 100.
I haven't seen this page.
All right. Well, it's right in front of you there. I'm just wondering if you can point to any of these examples that, let's say you have two couples. One's a heterosexual couple that's been married for 20 years. Another's a homosexual couple that's had a committed relationship for 20 years. Which of these rights do you think should not accrue to the homosexual couple that's been together for 20 years? Let's just take an example. Number four, no right to consent or refuse consent to an autopsy of a partner's body.
Well,
number four,
Senator Ringo, I remember that possibly is something that's listed in House Bill 3476, if I'm not mistaken.
Consenting to an autopsy?
And all of those rights that go with it. Again, I'm going to reiterate, Yeah, there's a lot of rights afforded marriage people.
On this page.
There's a lot of rights. If I could continue, sir, without you interrupting me. There are a lot of rights afforded married people in the state of Oregon. And the voters of Oregon have voted that marriage is between one man and one woman. And just because somebody wants to live an alternate lifestyle and have rights based on sexual preference and not immutable characteristics, I think Oregon has spoken loudly and clearly, and we have many times over in this building stated our opinions strongly. I'm not saying people don't deserve certain rights. What I'm saying is the will of the voters of the state of Oregon has spoken that marriage is between one man and one woman, and we are here to protect those rights and protect the voters' will.
Madam Chair, my question has to do with which items on this list of 100 you would not give a couple that's had a committed relationship for 20 years. Can you look at this list and identify any of those that you think would be inappropriate? You have a copy, don't you?
Well, I...
Do you have a copy of the list? Do you?
Senator Ringo, I think the question is redundant and designed to embarrass the panel who sits in front of you. What I will reiterate once again to you is our position is very strong on this. You know what our position is on this. And for me to look at a contrived list of 100 rights and benefits that a minority of 1% of the state of Oregonians want is a waste of time for both you and me to engage in this conversation.
Okay, thank you. Madam Chair, just a comment. It may be a waste of time for you, but it's not a waste of time for the thousands of couples in Oregon that want to have these kind of relationships conferred upon them by law. And these rights, they matter to these people. Some of them, the right, for example, to request an autopsy. You know, very unlikely somebody might want that right, but it's possible, and it's happened. And for the person that's affected by that, it's very, very important. And you can go down this list, and this only lists 100. There's more of them, certain benefits, unemployment benefits, benefits under auto insurance, personal injury protection coverage, PIP coverage. You know, if a married couple has been together for 20 years, one can give the other certain benefits under their PIP coverage. That's not true for a homosexual couple or a lesbian couple. And I think the proponents of this bill would step back and say, that's just not fair. These are rights that matter to Oregonians. This is a list of 100. There's a lot more. I think that's what this bill is about.
Chair Brown, Senator Ringo, I appreciate the question. My personal response, I haven't viewed that today, but I did see it when it was in the voter's guide, would be that 57% of Oregonians said that the distinctive nature of the institution is to be protected. And part of that distinctive nature of the institution are the outcomes of its construct, that is, between a mother and a father, and that role and that construct in the terms of what it does for the culture and the rearing of the family. I hold no angst, but I do hold disagreement with the outcomes of a number of different types of relationship constructs that are being proffered throughout the culture right now in terms of its equivalency. And one of our great concerns as an organization is with the issue of fatherhood. And I've worked with a lot of children without fathers, that is, fathers that were active in their household, but all of them had fathers. I grew up without a father myself. And I would submit to you that that is another one of the rights that this culture should address, and that is, does a child have a right to both a mother and a father? I propose that question as a backdrop to the vote that took place by 57% of Oregonians, and in the discussion about where things go between the reciprocal benefits bill and this consideration, and at what point is there a diminishing distinction or loss of difference between what the voters voted on and what would happen with this bill.
Chair Brown, Senator Ringo, many of the rights and protections that gay and lesbian couples may seek can be arranged for through contract, through wills, through other legal means. Through Hawaii's reciprocal beneficiary law, as Ms. Tootie Smith mentioned, and I had called the Hawaii Department of Health on the day of the House's hearing on 3476, more than 1,000 individuals had signed up for the reciprocal beneficiary provisions in the state of Hawaii. My memory serves me correctly, it was exactly 1,026, with 77, as I recall, terminations of reciprocal beneficiaries' relationships since 1997, when Hawaii implemented that law.
I think what's most troubling, Mr. Castagna, is the fact that during the campaign, the proponents of ballot measure 36 specifically said that it did not prohibit civil unions, and that for folks to come forward and say that it violates the will of the voters feels either very hypocritical or very that the campaign itself was very misleading to voters. I think that's the concern, at least I have. I suspect some of my other colleagues share. But for the campaign to repeatedly say over and over again, ballot measure 36 doesn't preclude civil unions, that gay and lesbian couples should seek marriage-like rights, civil unions through the legislature like those in Vermont. Vermont has had civil unions for 5 years. I think most Oregonians have a pretty good sense of what those mean. I could be wrong, but, you know, Will and Grace has been on for a while. I mean, I think there's a number of TV shows that are out there. I mean, I could be wrong, but that's what I find very troubling, is that spokespeople for the campaign specifically said it didn't preclude civil unions, and that the ballot measure itself did not explicitly preclude civil unions. So,
Madam Chair,
Senator Ringo,
just to follow up on that last remark, Mr. Costanza, I mean, there's a lot of benefits that cannot be contracted for, like workers' compensation benefits, survivor benefits under workers' compensation, the ability to sue for wrongful death, for example, if a married couple has been together 20 years and one is killed due to somebody's negligence, that the survivor has the ability to bring a wrongful death suit for the loss of their society and companionship. Our society takes that very seriously. It's not true for a gay or lesbian couple. Right. And there's a whole list of those kinds of benefits that accrue to married couples that don't accrue to gay or lesbian couples that they can't contract for.
Chair Brown, Senator Ringo, if you look at the Hawaii Reciprocal Beneficiary Statute, it is broader than House Bill 3476, including such items as health insurance benefits, etc. So, I mean, there's the potential that 3476 could be amended to be similar to Hawaii's statute.
We look forward to it coming over from the House. Any other questions, Senator Shields?
Bob, I was just wondering if you'd look at this list of 100.
Yeah, we've had that conversation, Senator Shields.
We do that.
I'm sure that he will come. I'm sure he will come talk to you about which ones he will support and which ones he will not. So,
thank you.
All right. Thanks for letting us grill you guys. We figured you're professionals and you can handle it.
Thank you, Chair Brown. Thank you, members of the committee.
Okay. Next up, Pastor Peggy Parsons, Mr. Steve Wagenhofer, Mr. Kento Azagami. On deck, I have Sally Tiharda, Jonathan Horton, and Isaac Horton. And we're going to need to finish up in about a half an hour, so be short and sweet, please.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Peggy Sanger Parsons. I am pastor of Freedom Friends Church here in Salem, Oregon. I am here in support of Senate Bill 1073. I am an evangelical Christian, and I am a Quaker. I'm here today because my Christian faith compels me to speak out for justice and equality. The Apostle Paul speaks often and eloquently about my duties as a Christian living as a citizen. I am to be a good citizen. I am to respect civil authority as long as it is in harmony with God's authority. I am to participate in a full civil life. And I am in all cases compelled to call society to greater justice and greater equality. I believe that I am called to bring my whole person to the public table, my faith, and I believe that I am to do that without cramming it down anyone else's throat. My faith tells me that God makes no differentiation between persons. It is Paul that tells us that there is no Greek or Jew, no male or female, no servant or master before God, that the government and the governed stand equally before an ultimate just judge. I believe that God sees no difference between straight and gay. I believe that the bill before you to create civil union seeks to bring a measure of justice for gay and lesbian citizens. I believe it is the least that we can do. Justice and equality are measures of great importance to both my faith and my civil values. They are a moral and a civil mandate. I am a legally married person. I am also a person who is granted the right to officiate at state-sanctioned marriages. I would affirm Senator Morse's clarification in that respect. I am starting to find it to be embarrassing to have such privilege as a married person when my brothers and sisters in this room and in my church, my fellow citizens, my fellow taxpayers do not have the same privileges that I have. I urge you not to delay. I urge you to balance the scales of justice to the fullest extent possible, and I urge you to pass this just and moral legislation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Senator Brown and fellow senators of the Rules Committee. My name is Steve Wagenhofer, and first I want to say I'm an average citizen. I wouldn't normally get up in front of a room like this, especially at the Capitol, maybe at the local level, but I'm here for my kids, and I have never considered myself an activist until I had kids, and I'm here to ask for your continued support for 1073, SB 1073, and that you move it out of the committee and to a floor vote. You know, my partner and I have been together for 14 years. We have two adopted children. We've been parents for over 10 years. In my first year as a parent, I changed 6,000 diapers. my kids.
Did you count everyone?
I have two kids, and we adopted them publicly, and they're very close in age, and we adopted them as infants through the public system. And we're considered a thriving family. But my partner and I are not recognized as a couple, and it really seems odd to us that we're recognized as a family but not as a couple, and our children need the protections and rights that would be afforded through 1073. It just seems ludicrous. I also want to add that I'm a Catholic and my partner's Jewish, and it just seems very odd that to hear all the negativity and all the fuss about this. It seems so basic to us, and it's something that we really need as a family. And I also don't like to usually rebut something that anybody else says, but nobody said it here, and I want to say it. I'm gay, and I was born gay, and I feel like I was born gay, and maybe there were others that weren't born gay and chose to be gay, but to me it's not a choice, and these protections are really important to me and my family. So I urge your support in the passage of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chairwoman, members of the committee, my name is Kento Azagami, and I am the Vice President and the Senate Bill 1000 Campaign Chairman of the Portland State College Democrats, which is the local chapter of the College Democrats of America. My testimony and the written testimony, College Democrats support Senate Bill 1000, represents only our chapter and not any superior organization. The Portland State College Democrats, over the week of May 23rd, conducted a postcard campaign in support of Senate Bill 1000, asking Portland State students to sign postcards of support to our legislators. In 1 week of tabling, in between midterms and finals, with all of that stress, the Portland State College Democrats gathered over 900 postcards I delivered to legislators here in Sarah.
They were all my constituents. They all came to me, it felt like.
You had, who did PSU students live in Southeast?
Yeah.
We believe that the same sentiment still applies for Senate Bill 1073. We're disappointed that Senate Bill 1000 is not going anywhere, and we are eagerly awaiting the introduction of the civil rights bill from you guys. The Portland State College Democrats support civil unions because we cannot find any evidence to support that this would be a bad thing. We're college students, and we like to do research, and we like to read. So I want to quote to you a couple of things that I've found in my research. From Central Bureau for the Statistique, or Statistics Netherlands, in November 2002, they released a press release, quote, according to the latest figures by Statistics Netherlands, the total number of marriages in 2002 will be an estimated 87,000 against 82,000 last year when gay marriage was introduced in the Netherlands. From a study called Will Providing Marriage Rights to Same-Sex Couples Undermine Heterosexual Marriage by Professor M.V. Lee Badgett of the University of Massachusetts Amherst, they concluded several points. Quote, there is no evidence that giving partnership rights to same-sex couples had any impact on heterosexual marriage in Scandinavian countries and Netherlands. Marriage rights, divorce rights, and non-marital birth rates have been changing in Scandinavia, Europe, and the United States for the past 30 years, but those changes have occurred in all countries, regardless of whether or not they adopted same-sex partnership laws, and these trends were underway well before the passage of laws that gave same-sex couples rights. Quote, divorce rates in Scandinavia have not risen since the passage of partnership laws, and marriage rates have remained stable or have actually increased. Quote, non-marital birth rates have not risen faster in Scandinavia or the Netherlands since the passage of partnership laws. Although there have been a long-term trend toward the separation of sex, reproduction, and marriage in the industrialized West, this trend is unrelated to the legal recognition of same-sex couples. Quote, non-marital birth rates change just as much in countries without partnership laws as in countries that legally recognize same-sex couples' partnerships. And the final quote, I swear, the legal and cultural context in the United States gives many more incentives for heterosexual couples to marry than in Europe, and those incentives will still exist even if same-sex couples can marry. Giving same-sex couples marriage or marriage-like rights has not undermined heterosexual marriage in Europe and is not likely to do so in the United States, and I'd be happy to run off copies of those for you if you would like. I can tell you from personal experience that passing bills in opposition does not have the same effect. Of my own personal experience, I grew up in Alaska, and in 1998, Alaska voters passed Proposition 2, which is analogous to ballot measure 36. I can tell you it didn't have any thing to help protect marriage, as far as I could see, but it had a major decision in deciding whether I chose to remain in Alaska or leave. The PSU College Democrats urge you now to pass Senate Bill 1000 today out of this committee with the recommendation of a yes. We urge you to pass it now. Portland State students and the rest of Oregon cannot wait for these protections.
Thank you. Questions? Thank you very much. Appreciate you being here.
Ms. Chair, I want to know if that's cigarettes for an emergency.
Oh, no, this is the after testimony.
Okay. All right. Sally Tejada, Jonathan Horton, and Isaac Horton.
What? Madam Chair, while we're waiting, I do want to ask the gentleman that just finished testifying to get us a copy of that, or
that'd
at least
great.
Me.
If you can just get us a copy, that'd be great.
Because you had a lot of statistics there that were very helpful.
Sure, I could do that.
I would appreciate a copy.
Give me 5 minutes.
And before you two, I assume you must be the Hortons.
Yes.
Get started. I'm looking for Sally Tejada, T-J-A-A-R-D-A. Okay, let's bring up Daryl Adams then. Daryl Adams, come on up. Mr. Adams, thank you. Okay, go ahead.
Madam Chair, members of the Senate Rules Committee, I thank you for letting me testify today. I brought my Bible along because I thought I might need it. Then I thought, well, maybe I wouldn't. But because Scripture has been quoted or persons of various religions have said that that Christianity supports this or needs to, I'd like to quote for you quickly a passage written by the Apostle Paul describing homosexuality as vile. Wherefore God also gave, this is Romans 1:24 and through 32. Wherefore God also gave them up to to uncleanness through the lusts of their own bodies, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet, which we see today as AIDS, I think it's human papillomavirus, all sorts of, there's hepatitis A, B, and C. We see this today. The Bible is relevant. And it's important that we pay attention to this. And when people talk about discrimination, we need to realize that where they're coming from. And when the Bible declares something a sin, if we accept that as society, then what next will it be? In this capital, someone has told me once when I was going around asking questions that if the majority of Americans thought that murder was okay, it would make it automatically okay. And when we recognize sin like this, then that we can expect that. I'm going to focus on how much time do I have left?
36 seconds.
Okay. I would like to quote a couple quotes here. A steady and casual male homosexual relationships in Amsterdam found that steady partners contribute to HIV incidents more than casual partners. This can mainly be explained by the fact that risky behavior with steady partners is much greater than that with casual partners. Also about children. Sorry.
Okay, you can finish your sentence. That's fine.
Okay. Robert H. Knight, in his article, The Real Cost of Gay Marriage and Civil Unions, on January 27, 2004, published by the Family Research Council, writes, whether it is gay marriage or civil union, state sanction of homosexual relationships entices children to experiment with homosexuality. This puts more kids at risk for HIV, hepatitis A, B, and C, gay bowel syndrome, human papillomavirus, HPV, syphilis, gonorrhea, and other sexually transmitted diseases. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Horton, number two.
Madam Chair and Committee, I'm thankful for this opportunity to share with you the consequences of passing Senate Bill 1073. I'm Isaac Horton. I'm from McMinnville, and I'm a Christian. Historical examples that I will be talking about show that anything other than strict marriage causes societal disintegration. Nations most often fall from within, and this fall is usually due to a decline in the moral and spiritual values in the family. As families go, so goes a nation. British anthropologist J.D. Unwin scrutinized the sexual behaviors of 86 cultures through 5,000 years of history. His observations were and are sobering. He discovered that once a society ceased to value marriage and sexual restraint, it began to decline. Once a generation abandons a sexual ethic that values sexual restraint and monogamy, the following generation begins to wane culturally. It is then only a matter of time before the society shrivels and dies. In his 1979 book, Our Dance Has Turned to Death, sociologist Carl W. Wilson outlined the dangers facing traditional marriage and the family in America's increasingly sexualized culture. Carlson says, history shows the pairing up of men and women to form families is the very cornerstone of civilization, and it is fatal for society to weaken that bedrock of marriage by encouraging alternatives. It's a way of committing societal suicide, said Carlson, because it winds up taking the one institution that is vital to the community's future and reducing it to simply another relationship. Marriage is slowly dying in Scandinavia. Instead of encouraging a society-wide return to marriage, Scandinavian gay marriage has driven home the message that marriage itself is outdated and that virtually any family form, including out-of-wedlock parenthood, is acceptable. In Norway, once a relatively conservative country, gay marriage has undermined the marriage's institutional standing for everyone. We as a nation and a people must rise to the occasion or suffer fate similar to that which has befallen civilizations in the past. The task is not easy since the patterns of decay found in other nations strike ours as well. Nations were subverted by false and foreign ideologies. We too find hostile ideas in the public arenas of media, politics, and education. Sexual promiscuity led to the downfall of these nations. So too, we find similar patterns of sexual promiscuity and debauchery. As nations fell into decline, life became cheap. In his study, History, Arnold Toynbee describes the predictable pattern of challenge and response. We as a nation are challenged in fundamental ways, and our response will either pull us back from the brink or push us over it. Will we follow the path to renewal and reformation, or will we follow the path to destruction? The choice is ours. I ask you to oppose Senate Bill 1073.
Thank you. Right. Mr. Adams.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, Committee. My name is Darrell Adams. I'm from out towards Almsville, 5356 Raydell Drive. And I'm speaking in opposition of Senate Bill 1073, and I'd like to start with a question. Why are we really trying to dazzle the legislature with a new paint job on an old bill that the people of Oregon have already said they don't want? And as senators, I'd like to say to you personally, do you really want your voting record revealing that you voted in favor of this thing? Without a lot of unnecessary argument about an issue that's as clear as this on Senate Bill 1000, which is repainted as Senate Bill 1073, my reason for being against the bill, regardless of what kind of number you paint on it, is simply that right is still right and wrong is still wrong. There shouldn't even be any discussion about this issue. Who actually authored marriage in the first place? If it was authored by man, then we should follow man's rules. But if it was authored by God, then we should follow God's rules. The Webster Dictionary defines marriage, excuse me, in this way. It says the uniting of a man and a woman for life. Wedlock, the legal union of a man and woman for life. The word means one thing. And so let's not practice perversion and then try to hang that onto the name marriage, because that's not honest. The whole thing sounds like a brainchild from the civil union of Sodom and Gomorrah. And until I see otherwise, I'm going to just have faith in my senators that they still know the difference between right and wrong and have the guts to stand up for the right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. At this point in time, we've had equal numbers of both members testify. We need at least a long 10 minutes for work session. So we have 5 people signed up on the support side and 10 people signed up on the opposed side. I'm going to give each side 5 minutes. You all can decide how you want to divide it up. Anyway, either way, a minute a person or 30 seconds a person or just state names, but that's what we're going to do. Any questions for this panel? Thank you very much. We appreciate you joining us. Hope you didn't have to skip out of school today. On the support side, we've got Liz Stanhope, Rebecca Flynn, and Kathy Eaton.
This is good.
Kathy, come on up. You got a minute. Don't waste it.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Kathy Eaton. I'm the governance chair for the League of Women Voters of Oregon. The League has no position on marriage. However, we believe that the benefits and the legal rights and the responsibilities afforded to spouses should also be extended to partners and civil unions. We believe that all persons in committed relationships should have equity in their treatment under the law for such important areas as health care decisions, employment benefits, parental rights, inheritance, and property. We believe that Senate Bill 1073 provides an equitable solution to the present debate over civil and human rights. We recommend passage by the committee. Thank you.
Thank you. go ahead and you get her 15 seconds.
Yeah, I'll be speedy. So my name is Liz Tanhope, and I live here in Salem. I'm happy to say that I've had a civil union for 3 years. The anniversary of my Vermont civil union is June 15th, actually, so it's coming up. The testimony I'm giving today is the same I gave in a judiciary committee in Montpelier, Vermont 5 years ago. Your vote on Bill 1073 addresses the simple question, are lesbian, gay, bisexual, and trans individuals worthy of civil rights? That's it. In marrying a man, my sister was given civil rights and responsibilities from the government. Why am I not worthy of the same rights and responsibilities that my sister enjoys simply because my partner is female? My choice of life partner does not make me less human. Please affirm the equality of all Oregonians by moving quickly to support civil unions and not reciprocal benefits.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Flynn, and I'm a Plain Jane Oregonian just representing myself and my partner, Sharon, of 8 years. Sharon and I have obtained a domestic partnership in D.C., a civil union in Vermont. We were married by a priest in 2002 in a church. We got married in Multnomah County, and none of those things that we have done over the past 8 years have afforded us any of the rights and responsibilities or benefits of marriage.
Can I just travel around with you? I just like to hang out with you.
Sounds fun.
Fortunately, we were finally able to scrounge up enough money by scrimping and saving to spend over $1,100 in legal fees supporting the lawyers of Oregon in crafting documents to protect our healthcare and financial interests. One of the reasons we did so is because my partner and I chose to get pregnant, and one of my friends passed away during childbirth, and we wanted to ensure that I would be able to make health care decisions for her. So our daughter, Haley Rose, was born 3.5 weeks ago. Unfortunately, when Sharon, I'm sorry, I'm just going to say this, when Sharon had to get her C-section, instead of just going into the surgery room with her, holding her hand, I had to take out my legal documents and make sure that the anesthetist, the nurses, the surgeons, and everyone knew that if an emergency arose, I was the one who was going to make decisions, not her mentally ill mother. So please pass this civil union bill, protect Haley, and protect other Oregonians who cannot afford the money to hire lawyers to craft these contracts.
Thank you. Questions? Thank you all very much. Betty Hans and Andy Miller.
Thank you, Chair Brown, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Andy Miller. I'm the Executive Director of Common Cause Oregon. Common Cause Oregon actively opposed ballot measure 36 because we felt that it denied the right of equal protection to a certain subgroup of people. If you recall, there was a time at which women could not vote. I would like your permission to switch identities now and introduce myself for the record as Adair Robinson Miller. I'm a resident of Lake Oswego. I'm a wife, a mother, and a Presbyterian. I personally have never been so ashamed to be an Oregonian as I was on election night when I was at the the convention center and watched those results come in and watched the people cry and watched the people be gleeful. It was truly horrifying. I hope that you will make me proud to be an Oregonian and do the right thing and pass this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Betty McChesney House with the American Association of University Women of Oregon, and our position is, of course, on civil rights. We believe that everybody should have the rights to be able to have a perfect lifestyle, or at least try to achieve one. And it is our contention that this bill needs to be passed. We do not see that anyone else's civil rights are being taken away from them because of this bill, nor do we see that somebody's marriage is being taken away. We only see that people are allowed some of their rights back again that they lost because we decided that somehow that the marriage was much better than anybody else's idea of a union, and we decided who should be in that union. Actually, it should be anyone who chooses, and in this case, if two people of the same sex want to have a union, they need to be covered by insurance, they need to have equal rights the rest of us have. Thank you.
Ms. Miller, thank you. All right. Ms. Audrey Engel, Ms. Miranda Yarbrough, and Ms. Nina Rhea.
Good afternoon. My name is Nina Ray. My mother was a lesbian. I'm against this bill. I would never want to condemn a child to the life I had as a child growing up with two bisexuals. I'm available for interview one-on-one if you would like to know what it was like. I would like to quote Tammy Bruce. Tammy Bruce is a writer, www.tammybruce.com. She's a lesbian and a feminist. You haven't heard from lesbian women who do not fall into the radical homosexual group think. In her book, The Death of Right and Wrong, feminist and lesbian author Tammy Bruce talks about the divisive mindset behind group think. This is dividing us. It's wrong.
Thank you, Ms. Ray.
My name is Miranda Yarbrough, and I'm from Salem. Homosexuality with help can be overcome. Neuroscientist and gay activist Simone Levy says sexual orientation emerges from conscious or unconscious training regimen imposed by parents, teachers, peers, and society in general. This is reinforced by several causes, one of which I have cut out due to the time. In a study of 200 college students represented by Stephen A. Cagle in Sexual Identification and Gender Identity Among Father-Absent Males, those whose fathers have been absent from home at least 1 year, sons whose mothers remain single, experience more female sexual identification than sons of mothers who remarried or cohabited. Within intact families, a positive father-son relationship was associated with masculine sexual identification. An ex-gay man wrote in response to a call-in radio show, Loveline, hosted by psychotherapist Dr. Drew, says, "Through my therapeutic experiences, I learned that my homosexual attractions and behaviors were symptoms of a deeper need. This need is to receive love from other men in a non-sexual way. Early childhood sexual abuse and an emotionally distant and detached father, unhealthy relationships with my mother and grandmothers, and a feeling of non-acceptance from other boys and men all caused my homosexual attractions. Because I was wounded at such an early age, I shut down emotionally to protect myself. This kept out more pain from coming in, but it also kept me from receiving my same-sex love that was so desperately needed." In conclusion, homosexuality is a lifestyle that can be avoided. Because a person chooses to act out in homosexuality does not mean that we have to condone their actions. Instead, we should be helping them to overcome the hurts that have led them down a path of homosexuality.
Thank you.
My name is Audrey Engel, and I'm here in opposition to Senate Bill 1073 because it would create an unhealthy environment. And that's because homosexual families are not a good place for children to grow up. It is also because homosexuals have a much higher disease rate. In fact, according to some studies, according to the Center for Disease Control, half of the AIDS cases come from the male homosexual community, but that community only represents 2% of our population. This is a very significant issue. And then finally, because the homosexual community does not practice fidelity, and I have all of the data backing up these points in my written testimony, and you can go through and read that. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate you all being here today. Any questions, Senator Westland?
Just a comment, Madam Chair. We've had several young people testify on both sides of this issue today, and they've all done a marvelous job. So thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Senator Ringo.
You know, I just wanted to reiterate that, too. I think it, regardless of where you are, it's good that you come and give your opinion, and I just encourage you to do that. I was going to make one comment. I've received a lot of emails on this, an unbelievable amount from both sides, but sometimes I receive emails from people who are opposed to this bill, 1073, and they have an opinion, and they say they've never met anybody who is gay or lesbian, but they're against the bill because. And I just want to suggest to you that as you grow older and move out into society, that you probably will meet people who are gay and lesbian, and as you do that, it might impact your opinion a little bit, because then you realize that these people are not just people in abstract, but they're people in your class or even family members, people that you run into every day. And again, there's this list of rights that's an issue. And so I just ask you to keep that in mind. Okay?
My mother was a lesbian, okay? And those rights are a little treasure trove right there. We didn't need to have legislation and all this stuff. And there are a lot of lesbians who are very quiet and they aren't activists and they don't want to do this. They don't want anything to do with this stuff.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Ms. Engel, did you want to respond to Senator Engel's comment?
I think coming to these hearings has made it a much more personal issue, but my opinion has not changed.
Well, I'm not saying that it would right now. Thank you very much.
All right. Last 2.5 minutes, we got Michael Marsh, Nancy Hansen, and Susan Anderson. Go ahead. Welcome.
Go ahead. Senator Brown, senators, the question that is going to be asked if you pass this is, where are the same-sex couples getting all their children? Now, some of the lesbians can have artificial insemination, but insemination doesn't, all the semen in the world isn't going to make a man pregnant. And state law right now, the state statutes, allow the state to kidnap, take children, to lie about the parents, to falsify documents. An attempt was made to change that law in this session, but it got defeated. And the people who defeated it will also vote in favor of the civil unions, not coincidentally, because the state, and it didn't start with Kitzhaber and Kulongoski, and it didn't even start with Kevin Mannix and Larry Campbell. Hitler had the same idea. Okay, Karl Marx had the same idea, and you're just going down that road. And unless you change the law to have an honest government, this is just an attempt to muddy the water.
Thank you, Mr. Marsh.
My name is Susan Anderson. I'm from Eugene, Oregon. I will just ask you to please consider not voting for this bill. I'd like to give my time to Nancy.
Thank you.
I'm Nancy Hansen, and I'm from Eugene, and I'm an Aunt Millie Tilly that I saw those terms in an editorial to the Oregonian. I'm being very brief. I was widowed 6 years ago, and I was married for almost 30 years. My sister was widowed 3 years ago. She was married for 34 years. And so we've been able to help each other in practical ways and to comfort each other. We have a close relationship. It's been good for us in a lot of ways, surprisingly so. One of the things that I have noticed here is that, of course, reading Senate Bill 1073, I could have a civil union under it if I had a sexual relationship with a girlfriend, but I wouldn't be covered under it with a relationship with my sister. In fact, so I'd have to have an intimate relationship with another female to be covered by it. In fact, I'd be disqualified because I'm related too closely, which is really not an appropriate part of that bill anyway, putting civil unions with consanguinity. That doesn't really make sense.
So you would support, I'm sorry, so would you support the reciprocal beneficiaries bill in
yes.
the House?
Yes, I would. I think it's a reasonable compromise of most of the humanitarian concerns that people have brought up.
Okay, and I'm sorry your time is
okay.
We need to move into work
okay.
session, but let me see.
Okay.
There might be some questions from the group. I think you're off the hook. We appreciate
okay.
coming very much this afternoon.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Right. I had signed up and opposed to Senate Bill 1073, Ms. Betsy Schultz, Mr. Fred Mathias, Mr. Dale McNeil, and Ms. Jessica Rogers for the record. I'm sorry we don't have time to take your testimony today. With that, I'm going to close a public hearing on Senate Bill 1073 and open a work session on Senate Bill 1073.
Madam Chair, are you wanting dash one amendments?
Yes, I am.
So move.
Senator Shields will move the dash one amendments to Senate Bill 1073. Any questions?
Chairman, what do the dash one amendments do?
Thank you. Ms. Harris.
The dash one amendments clarify that an individual who is authorized to solemnize a marriage or a civil union is not compelled or obligated to solemnize any given marriage or civil union.
They're offered by Senator Morris. So I think we wanted explicit language to make sure that folks understood. Any other discussion? Any objection to the dash one amendments? Hearing, seeing none. So ordered. Senator Shields?
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 1073 as amended to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Shields has moved Senate Bill 1073 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
I think we've all discussed this a lot.
Okay.
I've got 100 phone calls today. I won't even bother. Well, the majority was in support of this bill. But we could talk forever, and I don't know if we want to do that. We can save that for the Senate floor.
Okay. Anything else?
Roll call.
Ms. Lowry, would you please call the roll?
Senator Atkinson?
No.
Senator
Rio? Yes.
Senator Shields?
Yes.
No.
Chair
Brown?
Chair votes aye. Motion passes. Bill will be not in here. Bill will be on the Senate floor. I would ask Senator Westland, Senator Bates, and Senator Morris to co-carry the bill with me. So, all right.
May I cast, well, we're out of work session. I just wanted to cast a ceremonial vote.
Sure, you can. Senator Westland?
Aye.
With that, we're adjourned.